Okay, welcome to another episode of Real Talk Podcast, where we explore ways to get into and grow mortgage and real estate businesses, and also explore ways to exit so you don't have to do it for the rest of your life. Today, I have Eric Heinen here. He came to Las Vegas a decade or so ago. I actually met him right around the time that he first showed up, and he knew like two people. And now he has a pretty thriving real estate business going, sales and investment. So super excited to hear from him, his journey on that. So without further ado, Eric, thanks for joining the podcast. And why don't you start by giving a little intro of yourself beyond what I just did, and tell us, start at the beginning of your journey here.
Oh, man, talking about my most favorite subject, myself. I love it. Well, I'll give you a little bit of the cliff notes. And by the way, thanks for having me on. And I appreciate the introduction. And so I'll just fill in a couple of blanks there that might be, you know, pertinent to the folks that are watching. And so currently in the real estate game, investment game, licensed in 06. So in the business for 17 years and have run several different incarnations of real estate teams, both in Atlanta, Georgia, and now here in Las Vegas, Nevada. And I'm an investor, along with my wife and partner, Julie Youngblood. And we currently own various properties in 5 states. And our mission is to help people create wealth, create a legacy, generational carry through property investing, any kind of financial vehicle that swirls around the real estate game.
Awesome, man, that's awesome. So, real estate is
obviously... I know, like when I hear that, I just want to do business with myself immediately.
I mean, it's such a, you know, real estate is such a powerful tool for growing wealth. And part of why I'm so excited to have you here, man, and just kind of like, you know, dive into how you got there. Because to a lot of people, it just kind of seems unattainable, I think. And and like I said, I mean, I remember when you basically first got to town, or you've been here shortly, and you were just getting going. So what is it that brought you to Las Vegas? And, you know, when, first of all, and then secondly, what, you didn't do real estate at first, I know, right? Mm-hmm. But then you just ended up getting back into it like you had before. So what was that like, you know, getting, why did you come to Vegas? And then how was it starting over in real estate in a new city?
Oh, that's a great question. So full transparency. I was on the tail end of a divorce in Atlanta where I had been active in real estate. And I really decided that I was at that pivotal point in my life. I was approaching my 40s. And I felt like I had done well so far, but I knew that something was missing. And, you know, sometimes that old chestnut about changing the wallpaper and just moving. And so I really downsized everything in my life. I packed up everything I could carry in a car. I drove here to Las Vegas because I had a friend that was doing very well in real estate here. And he said, listen, you were selling in Atlanta. Why don't you come out here and sell? And so I just took a leap of faith and came out here to town. And when I first got here, I thought, you know what, let me get acclimated. Let me figure out the city. There's a different vibe out here. It's a different culture. It's different weather. It's different everything. And so I got acclimated first, but I really didn't do too much of anything until I decided it's probably time to get back to real estate, because we were in a market. Actually, as a matter of fact, we weren't in a market of opportunity. We were in a market that was experiencing the financial collapse, you know, back in 08, 09. And so it was an interesting choice to do that at that time, but I saw a lot of opportunity because a lot of people were exiting the business, a lot of people were leaving. And sometimes if you go against the grain, it went really, really big.
Yeah, that was about the time you got right when, and Vegas got hit especially hard. So how did you get started?
In Miami, we got destroyed. I got destroyed. Yeah. I mean, everybody did, but we were we had led the craze and the appetite, especially in single family home sales. And then obviously those that fly the furthest also fall the hardest.
Man, you said it. Yeah. Las Vegas got hit especially hard, as you pointed out, and that's about the time you decided to, you know, pick back up your real estate business. So how did that go, man? What was that initial year like for you?
Okay. So for context, I didn't immediately start in sales. There was a position that had opened up with a Keller Williams franchise out here, and they were looking for a CEO position. That's really fancy, fancy terminology for glorified office manager and recruiter, a team leader position. And so I interviewed for that position and I took it. And the reasoning behind that was, I feel like if you're going to be a fiduciary in a transaction, right? You're going to represent buyers and sellers. You have to know a little something about the market that you're in. You know, like you can't be a local expert if you've been in town for 6 months. Like, I just don't think it works that way. And I felt like that by becoming the team leader, it would allow me to work with a lot of real estate agents in the area and to recruit, to learn about the market, to actually learn what the city was like, you know, what the areas really meant. And to do that for a while, basically a paid internship to really understand the city. And I did that for 24 months, which incidentally is the typical burnout rate for the team leader role in the Keller Williams organization. So I followed the playbook to a T.
Right on. So was that a commission-based position or just a straight salary position?
That was a straight salary position. That was it. Gotcha. So it was safety and security, I suppose, but played to my strengths. You know, I'm clearly a humble introvert. And so, you know, the role required a public facing, an agent facing demeanor. You know, basically my job was to attract agents, recruit them, to grow the brokerage. And I knew in that role, I would get a really great incidental education, you know, about what I needed to know about the residential real estate market in Las Vegas. And that really played out.
Nice. Yeah. That's a brilliant strategy. So you ran this team for 2 years and you got burned out. So then what?
So I ran the office, not a team, ran the office for 2 years. And, you know, burnout sounds like a strong word, but it's just like, it was time for a transition. And I was hungry to get back into sales. And I felt like, especially in talking with and coaching and mentoring agents, you know, because basically when you're talking to real estate agents, you're talking about people that have entrepreneurial businesses. And so those struggles, those don't really change, right? Like it can be Timbuktu, it could be Alaska, Nashville, Las Vegas, right? Like the challenges of being an entrepreneur and building a business in the real estate space, a commission-based sale that doesn't come with a security net, you know, that requires a lot of work without payoff potentially or ever, that really got me in the mind frame, but it also really ignited the hunger in me to get back into the sales game. You know, when you talk about sales, and you're mentoring and coaching and doing all that, like you just naturally want to jump back into it. And so that was really the transition. And I should say that I got incredibly lucky. I really hit the jackpot when I met Julie Youngblood, who's now my wife and my partner. And she was a real estate coach. And I really, really learned a lot from her as well at the same time. And so we both grew our respective businesses. You know, we were in two separate lanes, but working together. And so right around that time, that's when we just decided, let's get back into the residential real estate cycle full tilt.
So I think that's a really good coaching point or like a piece of advice, just find and marry someone that can help your career. But like legitimately, you know, like,
listen, I want you to know that's, hey, total clarity. You know, I sold real estate before. I think I was pretty good at it. And I did a little bit of, you know, I was a good recruiter. I was a good attractor. I was a good pitch. You know, I can get in front of a room or an auditorium and I can make it happen. You know, but I would say that when you meet the right person, when you meet that spark, and it was just happenstance that we happened to be in the same industry, you know, and kind of spoke the same language. And she filled in a lot of blanks for me. And I think I was a great partner for her as well, especially in the beginning. And so you're right, though. When you meet the right person, everything changes for you. We just happened to be married together in a mutual business. So that just made it super awesome. That was a thermonuclear explosion.
A vertically integrated relationship.
Yes, yeah. 100%.
So you dive into sales and, you know, what did you start doing? I remember hearing you talking at the time. I'm like, fucking call people, right? Like, what? Can you go into some detail about what you were doing to grow your sales business when you finally dove in and committed to doing sales?
Okay, awesome. So simple, not easy, but simple. The biggest thing, you know, real estate is a contact sport. And the more people that you talk to, or the more real estate conversations that you have, the higher your chances of success. Now, it requires that. Number two, it requires a consistent follow-up plan, right? You've got to be able to organize and manage a database. And so contacts, consistency, doing these activities every day, and then keeping a database. And I'll stop there because you can talk about just those three things in great detail. And what's interesting to us, and now I'm pulling a little bit from what Julie does because she coaches and consults with teams all across the country, you know, and we found that these problems are all the same. A lot of people want lead flow, but they don't necessarily want to generate the lead. And the phone is the fastest way to get in touch with people. But if you look at most agents, the phone weighs 500 pounds. It's the last thing they want to pick up. And the third thing is you'll find that many people are running a business on a spreadsheet, not a database. And so you have to commit to Monday through Friday at a minimum, you know, just like it's a job, right? A lot of people want to get into real estate because they want to be their own boss. And then they find out that they're a terrible boss, right? And so you have to set yourself a no compromise schedule Monday through Friday. These are the activities that I'm doing. For myself, because I'm still like a player coach with my team, I participate. You know, for us, it's a minimum of 2 hours of prospecting every day, Monday through Friday. And then we also do consistent follow-up for an hour after that, just to make sure that we're reaching out, following up on the contacts that we did make, checking in with clients, et cetera. And the third thing is that we have a database hive mind where all of this is collected for reference. And that kind of becomes your supervisor. Like I check in with my database every day. What do I need to do today? Who do I need to talk to? What do I need to take care of? It's that. And it's that kind of boring consistency that builds a really great business. As a matter of fact, I've found in networking and partnering with top agents all around the country that everybody's really successful business ends up looking really, really boring. It just has a lot of commas in the checking account. So I don't know. It's consistent.
That's why. I think that's why people get in, man, is for those commas. But you're right, man. It's like the doing the same repetitive, boring stuff day after day. And then how long would you say, you know, of doing that diligently, did it take for your income to get to where you really want? Let's say to pass that, you know, that six figure mark to consistently earn 100K plus in commissions a year. How long do you think it takes? On average just that constant repetitive managing a database to get to that point?
It took between, I'm just going to shoot from the hip here, 18 to 24 months, I would say. First year, you're really getting in there. You're really figuring out what your value is. You're still learning. You know, you're in hyper learning mode and you haven't really streamlined your processes yet. And so you'll find that when you get into, and this is what I would say to any new agent or someone who is considering getting into this business, right? You'll end up falling into two or three deals. And depending on, you know, how consistent and how skillful you are and how committed you are to learning and providing real value, you know, not just as a tagline, but actually really consulting with clients, listening to what they want, and then, you know, putting forth hard work to figure out if you can get it for them, if it's even possible. But those first few transactions will be really bumpy, you know, especially on the back end. And it's like business, you know, it's like building a client facing business. You want the, you know, we call it being the swan, right? Beautiful, graceful neck, you know, above the water, but underneath the water, the feet are furiously paddling, right? It looks very ungraceful, right? So you're trying to be the swan for that first year. And the other thing that I think that a lot of folks that get into it for that first year is they're trying to shed their past life. You know, because real estate seems to be that magical seventh, eighth, and ninth career choice for people. And I find that the sphere that you know, the friends that you have, the relationships that matter the most to you, they've known you in some cases for years. And so they've seen you be the bartender. They've seen you be the valet. They've seen you be the whatever it is that you were doing before three or four times, and now you're in real estate. And so you have to kind of overcome some of your past. You have to be really, really consistent. You have to be willing to put up with long hours and no pay for a long time. But if you can do that consistently, you can do that, that stick to it work. If you can reach out to people, log it, follow up. The biggest thing, it's a tired old chestnut, fortune's in the follow up, but I promise you, there's so many people that talk to people once or twice and then never reach out to them again. And then they wonder why they bought a house without them 2 years later. You know, it is a get rich slow game. True sense of the word.
For sure. Yeah, for sure. So you get, you know, once you're past that 2 year mark or so, mm-hmm. right. And, as you know, I mean, it is predictable, right? That's what's so cool about real estate is that it takes a while, but if you just do what you need to do day in, day out, mm-hmm. you make good money. And then a lot of people, it starts to kind of feel a bit like a trap, like some golden handcuffs. What are you doing now, to position yourself to not have to do real estate for the rest of your life?
Oh man. Here we get into the meat and potatoes.
Yeah, man.
So, okay. Well, let's fast forward a little bit. Number one, I would say that none of this stuff really happens overnight. You know, so when I talk about that 18 to 24 months, let's go ahead and let's add another 3-4 years on top of that. You know, like as just consistent, you know, doing the work, continuing to grow your unit count, branching out. Of course, you know, the more transactions you do, the more interesting situations you run into. So it's real estate's one of those weirdo professions where not only do you have to do a lot more work than you think you're going to, but you end up spending a lot of time on self-development, professional development, right? So let's just say in this period from when I started to the first 5 years, we focused on those transactions. And then once you get into a dependable, predictable loop, you know, along the way, you're investing in education. You're going to a lot of events. You're networking with a lot of agents and professionals around the country. And you continue to learn more and more and more, right? And your vision starts expanding. Because when you first start, you want to sell one house. Oh my gosh, like that's, you know, that's the benchmark. Then after a while, you want to sell 50 houses a year. And you want to get to that level of living, right? Which a lot of people can't attain. But when you do through consistency, skills, learning, development, you get to that point. And then once you move past that point, whatever your income target goal is, right? Then you do. At a certain point, we're all human beings and we want to continue to develop and grow. And that also means we want to do some different things. We want to branch out. And you also realize that just like any business that you build, whether it's selling widgets, tires, or houses, you ultimately need to build a business that can scale and continue to grow without you being at the center of the ball of yarn, right? Pulling every string. Like you've got to find a way to, you've got to learn about people. You got to learn about hiring. You got to learn about growing your organization because if you can't replace yourself, if there's nobody there to do the work. So that's a process that starts. And because what you just said, you start thinking about what's my exit strategy? Like, what does it start to look like? Maybe not necessarily an exit completely out of the business, but doing the day to day. You know, you start delegating the tasks that aren't maybe necessarily as dollar productive as you think they should be. And so you start figuring that and you start developing people. And then you step into the investment world because the investment world is where a lot of real estate professionals that have an advanced business naturally start to migrate towards because real estate is, in my opinion, the number one way to build wealth for yourself, your family, leave a legacy. It's simple enough to understand, but it's not easy to get into. But it's something that anybody can do, and that's a message that I preach a lot.
I'm into that, man. So you have a team right now or a group of, yeah. So what's that, what does that kind of structure look like of your team?
Oh, so you mean on the residential side, or are you talking investment?
I want to hear about both, honestly.
Okay. All right. So at current, like we're growing the fourth iteration of our team. So we currently have 3 members on the team right now. We also have a transaction coordinator. And then we've also got like some admin staff. But our goal this year is to grow between 15 and 20 agents by the end of the calendar year, because I think that this market is full of opportunity for coaching, mentoring, and growing people, because And we'll talk, we can talk about the market, but I think that's a big advantage and a big opportunity for almost everybody in the real estate space. And then on the investment side, we typically partner with agents around the country in differing markets than ours. In other words, I'm really interested in investments that aren't just in my backyard. My investment strategy in real estate before used to be, I need to see it, touch it, control it, you know, when it comes to rentals and things like that. But nowadays, I feel like if you have the right partner, then you've got boots on the ground and you can remote control deals from anywhere in the country.
Yeah, real estate is a team sport, right?
No, 100%, 100%. And you know what? I don't have any ego in this. Like I am happy to share in accolades, and I'm happy to, you know, for me, partnering with the right people has made all the difference. Because when you grow a level of trust with folks that you're working with, and you trust them with your money, you trust them with basically your investment strategy. And I know that I can accomplish more in other markets that I might be able to accomplish here, mostly because of price points and opportunity. It just depends.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, when you're open to partnering, it pretty much makes it so you can spread your money to wherever the best return on investment's at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, ultimately, I'm really just interested in, you know, what is the ROI? What is the ROI? What does it look like? I don't need to be on a billboard. Like, right. I'm not interested in that. As a matter of fact, I find that the folks that I most respect in this industry that are doing huge, huge numbers are usually the quietest people in the room. Oh, I can't hear you.
There we go. Sorry about that. Yeah. That's okay. I mean,
that was a pregnant pause in the conversation.
The ones listening are the ones learning, man, for sure. Or putting yourself in the room with where you're the dumbest and poorest person there as often as you can.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, as the rooms have changed that I've been lucky enough to get invited into, as those rooms have changed, I realized that I absolutely was not the smartest person in the room. And so it's almost like a natural proclivity to just be quiet and ask questions and then just listen. So yeah, it's, you know, I would say that if anybody listening right now is really interested in what to do or where to go or how to get started, the first thing that I would recommend is making an investment in, if you're able to, in a really good mastermind or networking group, because I find that the more people you can add to your network, the more people you can learn from, the more people you can contribute to, you know, as a collective, the faster you'll grow, you know, which seems kind of weird. Like there's that saying, right, that says, hey, if you want to go somewhere fast, you know, go by yourself. If you want to go far, take others with you. And so I don't know. I found that really has borne out true, especially in the investment space and real estate space.
Man, that's so true. What mastermind? When did you join that mastermind, and which one is it?
So I'm part of one of the masterminds that I'm part of is called Metrics, Metrix, and I can send you the info on that. It's a really powerful real estate and investment based mastermind. We meet quarterly, as well as additional events throughout the year, but we have four big quarterly meetings, and we attract real estate agents and team owners from around the country that typically have a very high level of production. And in addition to a high level of production, they also are very diversified into, they're playing a lot of spaces, not just single family residential, but multifamily investing, hard money loans, creative financing, business buying and brokerage, et cetera. And so it's like a massive hive mind. And what's really cool about it is, and this is something that I think a mastermind that you have to travel to go to offers. Like, I wouldn't necessarily recommend a mastermind in the same town that you do business with. And here's why. Real estate is a friendly competition. You know, like I work in a brokerage, it's got over 300 agents, and I'm happy to teach classes and coach and mentor and all that. But at the end of the day, we're all competitors. And what's really cool about leaving your city and meeting others in other markets is that they can share freely and you can share freely. Like if somebody in Utah's got secret sauce for a really great multifamily strategy, they don't have to compete with me in their backyard. And so they can literally give me the playbook, you know, they can share it with me and they in turn can learn from me as well. And like the ability to not only share and educate each other, but actually work together on deals where you both can profit is like the definition of a win-win. So I would say number one, I'm a huge, huge proponent of masterminds, free and easy communication. You'll learn about concepts you didn't even think of, you know, it'll really make your head spin. Oh, it's incredible. I think you're a part of a mastermind, at least one, aren't you?
I'm in a mastermind for real estate syndicators. And I mean, everything you're saying resonates. I wish I'd have been in masterminds sooner and longer, mm-hmm. you know? Yeah. And I used to have this perception that, I almost like people that are all this talk of mastermind almost seemed a little pompous or like, how can it really be so great? And then I joined one and it's the best investment I've made in myself so far to date, I think. Mm-hmm. Right.
That's funny that you say that. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but like, you know, it's funny that you say that when you talk about the investment required. Number one, I think that any mastermind or, you know, self-development that you want to do, business development, you should pay for. I feel that like if you make an investment in something, a couple of things are going to happen, especially if it's a fairly large investment, right? You make a fairly large investment in something, you're going to want to track the ROI on your investment, which means that you're going to hold the event accountable and you're really going to come back and take a look. What am I getting out of this event? What am I giving? What am I getting? You know, is this worthwhile? And you're really going to participate at a high level. Like you tell me there's a free class about something, I can show up. I might answer a few texts on my phone, you know, if I'm not riveted by the speaker. But you throw that same event, you tell me that it costs $10,000 to be there and I'm going to learn something life-changing. You better believe that not a phone in that room is on. Everybody is paying attention and participating. And so I think that's a big part of it. Same thing with coaching. You don't pay for the coaching, you may or may not take advantage of everything your coach tells you to do.
Right. Yeah, it's funny how that works, isn't it?
Yeah.
Would you, in my experience anyways, was when I first got into the mastermind I'm in, is that I almost felt like an imposter, right? Like all of a sudden I realized like I'm surrounded by these people that are performing at such a crazy high level that I almost wondered if there was like some like other group that I should have joined that's like a stepping stone to that one, man. Did you experience that at all?
Trevor, 100%. 100%. You don't know what you don't know till you walk into a room and you know me. And when I'm quiet, either I'm sick, you know, or I'm mystified. And it's 100% true. You walk into these rooms and you listen to what people are doing. Number one, it's amazing, right? Like it's, for me, it's energizing when I'm surrounded by, oh my gosh, I'm really impressed and I have no idea how any of you all did that. And so that leads to really, you know, you kind of start over a little bit, but when are you the most receptive? When are you the most excited? Yeah. When are you the most willing to put in work on things? And 100%, when I joined the mastermind, I really didn't, I thought I knew a lot and realized I didn't know much. But what was really cool is that the same skill that gets you to the level that you're at before you join something like that, those same tools, those same behaviors and habits of, you know, listening, taking action, reaching out, talking to people, asking enough questions instead of running your mouth, you know, those same skills and attributes will take you to the next place. And so, and by the way, I'd add to that as a caveat is that, while some of this stuff sounds mystifying at first, after a while, it's not so mystifying. Like if you want to understand how to do a creative financing deal, do one. one with oversight. You'll learn more by doing one deal than you will by participating in a 6-week ABCD course. You know, just by doing one, you'll internalize it.
Yeah, you'll learn a lot for sure. And like just go do it.
Yeah.
You know, even when if you get yourself in these rooms with people, cause like, I mean, you said you felt energized and at this point now I do, cause it's like, I had to learn to correct my thinking a little bit. Like, no, you should be in this room and it's exciting cause this is all possible for you too. Right. Mm-hmm. Everyone started, half of them started at a position that is not even as strong as the one that you're in, you know, and you deserve to be there, and just go freaking do it, man. Like, just, you're going to die. Go do it.
Well, you, something else that I discovered, and this has been like a really happy discovery, is that a lot of these folks that I've met, a lot of the people we've partnered with, they are happy to share. As a matter of fact, they are excited and also energized around sharing the knowledge, like, and helping you out and walking you through deals. And I think that that is really, really cool. And that's not a blanket statement, but I can't think of anybody that I've approached, you know, honestly, and said, hey, here are my questions. Am I doing this right? Or is there a way that I could fine tune this? No one has ever said I'm too busy. You know, like, oh, absolutely. Let's do this. Let's do that. Here's where you might be making a mistake. You know, and by the way, here's a checklist that I have. Let me give it to you. If you follow that checklist, then you're on your way. And, you know, because to me, I understood houses. I understood buying, selling, marketing houses. I understood that really, really well. But I didn't really understand was creative financing. What I didn't understand was hard money lending. How does that work exactly? How is it collateralized? Like, what are the terms? You know, who underwrites it? What do I do? And so, you know, but once you did a couple of them, oh my gosh, I wish I would have been doing this years ago.
Right. So if someone joins your team, essentially, you know, the one of the 10, 15 people you're looking to bring on this year, they're essentially going to get the, not just all the knowledge that you've developed over the last few decades, but this whole mastermind that you have behind you too. It might be a little bit prohibitively expensive for someone just starting in real estate to join. Mm-hmm. They're essentially just going to get all that by default, by being a member of your group, it sounds like.
Well, it's interesting you say that. You know, I'll lean again on my partner and wife. And Julie built probably one of the most successful new agent coaching models in the country, and especially for Keller Williams. And so I've been really lucky enough to ride shotgun on hundreds and hundreds of coaching sessions with hundreds and hundreds of new agents, you know, men, women, all ethnicities, you know, all ages coming into this business. And after you watch these people develop or not develop, they either develop and move up or they move on to the next opportunity. What we found is that the fastest thing you need to do for anybody getting into real estate is to get them paid. You need to get somebody in there, because typically people arrive in real estate without a trust fund. And so the before we can talk about investment strategies and, you know, buying investment properties, the first thing we need to do is teach them the basics of the job, everything that they need to do to be successful, you know, and the onus is on them, but they need a good framework. And so you asked me the question, what can someone expect when they join our team? I like to teach people how to fish. I think that the number one thing you can do is to generate energy, enthusiasm, and pride in the choice that they've made in this new career, which is scary, right? Is you have to get them to feel some of that self-sufficiency. You know, they've got to be able to know that you can get on the phone and you can ask these questions, and it's okay to be humble, and you don't have to arrive with ego, and you have to be consistent. And by the way, that means that you have to show up, and you have to show up at a certain time. You know, you have to do these things. Maybe all the things you didn't like about your past job, like a schedule and a boss, well, shocker, you still got all those things, you know?
Yeah.
Now there's some oversight and probably some consequence, you know, that's waiting in the wings for you. So when someone joins our team, I think that we deliver all of that along with, you know, some really good mindset coaching and support and structure, because that's what you need. You know, you embark on any new business, doesn't matter. You need to know what you're doing. And especially in a commission-based sale, right, where we're getting paid isn't a certainty. And I think what, you know, one of the adages that Julie likes to tell our folks is that, like, hey, first 90 days, can't get super excited, can't get super depressed, can't get super mad, can't get super frustrated. You know, you just have to know that the work will pay off in time. By the way, real estate's a 60, 90 day pay cycle anyway.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to know what kind of an October you're going to have, like, tell me what you were doing in August. All right. It's really, really predictable when you think about it that way. But a lot of folks don't approach it that way when they come in.
So what kind of person are you looking for? You mentioned that you've, I mean, you're super experienced in developing, you know, by default of working with your wife. And it kind of sounds like you're also taking a more active role in bringing in and training new agents than maybe you did before. Mm-hmm. Cause I know Julie's kind of busy with some, her career's advanced and she's working on other things. So what, is there anything in particular you're looking for, or are you just looking for hunger? Like, who do you want on your team?
What I'm looking for on my team is like the perfect avatar for someone that would be on my team would be someone that's either brand new or someone that's done 3 to 5 transactions in a year, but kind of hit the ceiling there. I think that one of our superpowers is the ability to train and develop just about any level of skill, because there really is unlimited opportunity under our umbrella. You know, we want people to actually grow their own business inside of our business. But the prerequisite would be hungry to learn and somebody who's an action taker. That would probably be the two prerequisites right off the bat, because you're not going to sit in class all day, you know, or else it's entertainment. I believe that you can learn more and feel better about what you're doing by taking action. And so we're a real active team. When people come in, they're doing activities right away. Like, we don't want to talk about the job. We want you to do the job. Because the more you do the job, the faster it's going to spin you up, you know. And we also, everybody on our team shadows everybody else. So when there's appointments, when we meet with buyers, when we meet with sellers, when we go out and preview properties, when we stage properties, when we do all of those things, everybody's always with us, you know, or we split them out with the agents that are a little more experienced. And so we want them to learn by doing, and we want them to learn by seeing and participating. So I think that's the fastest way to get going if you're new.
Yeah.
And if you're someone that's got some experience and done some transactions, then we really take a good look at your business and see, like, where are some of those blind spots? Where are your systems? Like, if your systems are shaky, we've got them. We're going to give them to you. You know, you're going to work within the confines of our systems. And, you know, where's your mindset? You know, we're really going to take a good look at to why you only hit threshold X when you were really looking to be much higher. And so those are some of the things that we'll work with. But it's the end of the day, Trevor, it's nonstop. It's fast paced. It's exciting. It's I don't know. It's really, really, really fun. I think that we're still having fun in this business, and that's important too.
Absolutely, man. Yeah. It doesn't go well if it's not fun. So how does someone get a hold of you if they want to either buy or sell with you or talk about joining your team?
Oh, Trevor, sounds like a leading question. I love it. Best way to get a hold of me is no smoke and mirrors, my cell phone. It's on my hip 24/7. My personal cell, 702-353-9572. Or you can send me an email, eric@nvlikethestatehousehunts.com.
Awesome. And should they call or text you, or do a little bit of both?
You know what? You can do both. And we'll make it happen. And if I don't reach out personally, my admin will. We'll get something set up for you. But we're looking to talk to people 24/7. That is exactly what we do all day.
Right on, man. Cool. Well, Eric, I really appreciate you doing this with me, man. You have
100%.
I think you have a lot to offer to people in all scopes of the real estate business, whether you're just getting started or even if you're pretty advanced. I know you specialize in helping get people get started, which is freaking awesome, but I'd be happy to refer anyone in any stage of the real estate game to you. So appreciate you coming on.
Hey, Trevor, listen, I really appreciate it. I really appreciate you saying that. I've known you for a while, and it's really exciting to see you step into real estate offshoots and syndication, et cetera. And so really, really curious to see where that takes you. I know that's going to be successful. And thanks for having me on today. It was awesome. I'd do it again.
Absolutely, anytime. Man. Cool, man. Appreciate it.
Cool.